This is Caroline Rittenhouse at Bryn Mawr College. I'm going to read to Catherine D.K. Lauer the questions sent by the University of Wisconsin History Project concerning Wisconsin, University of Wisconsin, and her graduate studies in the Department of Political Science. The first question asks you to describe your MA and PhD programs with special attention to the most important requirements and how you fulfill them. Do you remember whether, for example, you were required to write a thesis for your master's degree?
I did a master's dissertation. I think the subject was something about...
That was about immigration, wasn't it?
Wasn't that the PhD?
I thought the PhD was bombs, German and Italian.
Oh, international.
Bombs.
Well, international regulation of... I think maybe the first one was international regulation of migration of
That's
people.
It.
Right. It wasn't a difficult assignment for me.
Who was your advisor?
Pittman Potter was my thesis advisor.
And were there language exams which you had to pass?
Yes. I remember French I passed easily. German I took a course in German, and the professor spent so much time on our learning the script that I didn't have much time to learn about the language. But I had enough background from having lived in Germany in Mexico with my cousin, whose husband was born in Germany, so that I could pass it. But that was really very amusing, because by that time they had dropped the use of the script.
Was that an examination which you took with a dictionary? Do you remember?
No dictionary. Did they do that at Bryn Mawr, that you have a dictionary?
No, not at Bryn Mawr.
No,
I don't think so.
Then at
no.
Wisconsin.
What about course requirements for the master's and PhD?
Well, it doesn't seem to me they were very difficult to fulfill.
And
I did it in 1 year because I got my BA in 24 and my MA in 25 and my PhD in 29.
Now, who was the advisor for your PhD dissertation?
I think that also was Pittman Potter.
And do you remember whether you had a committee for preliminary exams?
Oh, yes, we had a committee. And Keith Kofer from economics was on the committee. And Walter Sharp, who later became president of...
Well, they can find that.
Either president or head of the political science department at Columbia, and a sociology professor. And he was the brother, I guess he was Selig Perlman, and there was another Perlman that went to Washington. I think that's...
Did you have an oral examination, a preliminary examination?
Yeah.
Do you remember anything about it?
Well, it wasn't too difficult, the preliminary. Then we had a final oral on the dissertation.
And how did that go?
Well, that was very interesting because I had been working in New York at the Institute of International Finance, and they asked me about German bonds, and I had been working on a credit study of Germany, and I said they were going to default. And that kind of shook them up. And why were they going to default? Germany at that point was had recovered a good bit after the war. That was the First World War, and this was in 1929, so they were doing pretty well. And I said, well, they don't have the foreign currency to pay off these bonds when they became due. They had marks, but they didn't have dollars. So that sort of shook them up.
Now we're going to look at a list of the political science faculty members, and they would like you to characterize each person's teaching, research, contributions to the field, anything you can remember, and possibly you might want to do that in the light of your own teaching experience. What was the style of teaching, and did the faculty member collaborate with the students? The first name on the list is Arnold Hall. Did you know him?
No.
But you did know Frederick Ogg.
Oh, yes. Frederick Ogg, I think, was the head of the political science department at the time. He was a scholar. He had written about foreign governments. He was a gentleman. We had late afternoon seminars, and we each had a topic to discuss somewhere along the line. I would say there might have been 8 people in the class, and one of them was a man from Europe. I've forgotten his name, but I think it came from Budapest. Oh, I think his name was Heinrich Pollock. And he was very entertaining because he described his descent when he came to Wisconsin on a fellowship. First, when he came, he was Herr Professor. Dr. Herr Professor Heinrich Pollock. Then pretty soon he was only Dr. Pollock. And then pretty soon he was Heinrich Pollock. And finally he was Heine. And he was very entertaining when he talked about this.
How were the topics you discussed chosen? Do you remember whether you chose your own or they weren't assigned by?
No, you chose your own from the general field. And I can't even remember what I chose.
No, that was a long time ago.
Right.
What about, how much did you feel you knew about his research?
Ogg's?
Yes.
Oh, a good deal, because he had special meetings. He entertained us at his home at which time he talked about his work. But the seminar was mostly the students reporting. Mm-hmm. But everybody had great respect for him.
You said that he was head of the department. Was the department one which was relatively free of departmental politics?
I think pretty free. There was a little rivalry between in sociology, between political science and sociology, because I remember Edward Aylesworth Ross had a big class, a lecture class. He was very popular. And he got into some things that overlapped with other people's courses. And so there was some feeling about it. And especially since he was so popular. And he went to Russia and came back. He stayed six weeks, and he came back and wrote a book about Russia. And everybody put up their noses at that. How could you learn enough about Russia This was after the First World War.
Were these students or faculty who put up their noses?
Faculty, not the students.
Did you read the book?
Oh, sure. I've forgotten it, though. I used to own it, but I...
You took his course, too, didn't you?
Oh, yes, yeah.
What about the style of administration in the department? You've been a departmental administrator yourself. Were there, well, you may not have known.
I didn't know too much about it as a student.
Did you feel that Mr. Ogg was involved in public affairs outside the university? Were you conscious of that particularly?
No, no.
Okay. How about Pittman Potter? You probably got to know him better than anybody else.
Well, he was more involved in things outside of the department, he was especially involved in international relations and the League of Nations. What was it in those days?
It was the League of Nations.
We didn't join.
Right.
And it was the League of Nations. And I remember we met, and I was traveling in Europe with my mother in 26, and he had gone over to Europe and to Switzerland, and we were there the day Germany was admitted to the League.
There were some other University of Wisconsin people there too, weren't there? At that meeting? I know you went to the League of Nations meeting. You told me that.
I've forgotten it. Mm-hmm. I've forgotten.
Well, what about Mr. Potter's teaching style?
Well, he was more freewheeling than, for example, Ogg.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I can't quite define it, but he did a lot more in conferences with students.
Individual conferences?
Yes, a lot more. And much less lectured. Now, Ogg, even though it was a seminar, lectured to the group. Pittman Potter didn't use that so much.
You had a seminar with him too?
Oh yeah, right. And then I had a course in constitutional law in the law school. And the person who taught that course then went east. I've forgotten, he had some very prestigious job in the East.
How was Pittman Potter regarded in the department?
A little bit as a maverick. Not quite as following the traditional pattern.
Was he, do you think, interested in innovative methods of teaching political science? That was...
Yeah, I think he was. He was a little more down to earth in terms of the present, too, and the problems of the present.
You mean that he was more willing to discuss political science
theory
and apply it?
Yeah.
What problems besides the League of Nations? Can you... international finance, for instance?
Yeah, in those days, the involvement of the United States was much more limited in international affairs. But one of the most distinguished people we had, who then left, was Carl Russell Fish, and I had a course with him. But I think he left... Well, I was an undergraduate. Mm-hmm. Is he on the list?
He's not on the list, and the list begins in 1925, so that
right.
wouldn't
yeah.
fit in.
Yeah, he had already left.
Well, what about his style of teaching?
He was probably one of the best lecturers I've ever had, but his was straight lecture. And you took notes, and you had an examination on them.
It's always hard to recall, or it is for me anyway, why a lecturer was good. I can often remember that someone was good, but for instance, did he give you a great deal of detail?
Well, you never had a feeling that he was just reading his notes of the last year or two, because he really was very creative.
I think you said in some of our other interviews that these courses in many ways were fun for you, that there was something creative about the teaching.
Yeah, I think I enjoyed my time at Wisconsin.
Let's look at the rest of this list. There's a man named Ford McGregor, whom I don't remember your mention.
I never had him.
And how about Joseph Harris? He was there in 1925. Or Arnold Johnson?
Don't remember either of them.
But Walter Sharp, you remember?
I remember very well.
All right, tell me about Walter Sharp.
Walter Sharp, I've forgotten the name of his wife, lived in the same apartment building that my mother lived in. That would have been in, 25. And they were very friendly, very nice. And he was a very good teacher. I didn't have a lot of courses with him because he then went to East. I think he went to Columbia. There are two people who went East.
And what about his contribution to the field and the department?
I don't remember too much about that. As a student, I don't think you always are aware.
No, I don't think so either. I really don't think, as a graduate student myself, that I was aware of faculty governance. Often you're aware of arguments in the department.
Yeah, right.
How about informal gatherings? I think you went to Pittman Potter's.
Right, and also Frederick Ogg.
And what would those be like?
Well, you didn't have any liquor. You had food. It was like an evening tea party.
Would these be open discussions?
Well, yeah, but they weren't too heavy academically.
How about you as a woman at the University of Wisconsin? Were there other women in the political science graduate program?
I just can't remember. But we weren't too aware of sex differences at Wisconsin. After all, it was a Midwestern university with a lot of migration from Germany and other Western countries in Europe.
Were there members of the department students, other graduate students, and you enjoyed discussing your work with particularly?
I think Heinrich Pollock. Heine was the one, because he was always reaching out to the students to discussions. I just don't remember too many others.
We're looking now at the list of PhDs in political science in the years.
Well, starting with 1926, I might, have had some kind of. I didn't know anybody there. Didn't know anybody in 27. And of course, in 28 and 29, I was not a resident there. So I don't know any of these people.
You were off campus part of the time because you had gone to Columbia.
After my MA, I went to Columbia intending to get a degree there, and my father died while I was there, and so I finished the semester and then had to go home. Now that's where I met my first husband, and there was one amusing incident. Because some of the courses we took were called extension. Now, we went weekly, as in any other course, but it was the way that professors could make more money. So when I went back to Wisconsin, they didn't want to give me credit for one of the courses I'd taken. And I remember that I went up to see them. And finally, the dean, and I've forgotten who it was, said, if Wisconsin doesn't recognize our work, we will not recognize Wisconsin's. Made them so mad, you know, that anybody would question it just because it was called extension.
They're asking you here to describe the facilities, the classroom, office, library. Now, you had a good
in
deal
Wisconsin?
To do with, well, I think maybe you might want to compare New York and or Columbia and Wisconsin, if you can remember.
Oh, yes, I remember. The library facilities at Columbia were so huge and so, you felt no real personal identification with them. Wisconsin, on the other hand, there was a beautiful library building. You went down, you could get your books and have them kept there for you, very much like Bryn Mawr does today.
Were there small graduate seminars where books were shelved for graduate students as they do, or where you could have a desk of your own to work?
Well, I think you could have some books. You didn't have a desk of your own, really, but you could have some books put out and it would be kept there until you were return them.
Mm-hmm. How did you work with books in those days? This was before the time of photocopying. Did you just take notes?
Oh, yeah, we always took notes. Took a lot of notes.
And what about classrooms? Do we have any recollections?
Oh, yes, we had classrooms in an old building called South Hall in another building that was Victorian architecture. I think it was red brick with kind of fancy light brick trimming. And that was pretty much for the physical sciences. But they did have classrooms in different buildings wherever they needed them. And then we had quite a few in the main building. What was it called? The top of the hill.
Well, the University of Wisconsin people will know. I don't.
Yeah. Well, you had that long walk up the hill. That's why they would say on the hill, you see. And outside of that was a statue of Lincoln, I think.
They ask you here what milestone events and themes in the history of the political science department or the field you think deserve special note in a history of the University of Wisconsin.
Well, I suppose it was Pittman Potter's involvement with the League of Nations, and although Wisconsin was an isolationist state, I remember a friend of mine and I organized a rally at noon for the United States to join the League. And I remember talking with my father about it, trying to get him to, because he was fairly active politically with the Follets. But I never made much headway with him.
How about students? Were most of them supportive of joining the League?
I think they probably were.
And what about the faculty?
Well, I don't know about that, because how many did we have? We had Sharp and Potter and Ogg that would be interested in that. and I think they were all for it.
Were there ever any outside speakers who came to address that issue?
Not that I remember.
There wasn't any special lectureship for the department, small outside lectures, as there are for some of the departments here.
Not that I remember. I'm trying to remember how Edward Aylesworth Ross got involved in this after his trip to Europe and his book. But I just don't remember that.
Okay. The next question deals with the administration of the college, the style, objectives, and accomplishments of Dean George C. Sellery, S-E-L-L-E-R-Y.
Oh, yeah, he was the graduate dean. Before we go on to that, we don't have commons. Do they have John R. Commons?
No, they don't, and they should, shouldn't they? How can they not have John R.? He may have come earlier. But yes, let's by all means mention him and his Friday Nighters.
That's right. Well, I don't know whether he had left or died or what.
He wasn't in a different department, was he?
Yeah, he would have been in labor.
That may be why he's not on this list. But
yeah,
he was
right.
Very important to you.
Very important, yeah.
I think most of that is covered in
oral
history.
Yeah. Sorry.
That's okay. What do you remember about Dean Sellery? And is that
well? I remember what he looked like.
Tell me what he
was fairly healthy, fairly heavy, a good-looking, quiet man. And he's the one who told Columbia that if they didn't. No, Columbia told him that if they didn't give me credit for that course, that they would then do something about Wisconsin credits.
How would you compare the administration they're asking with other schools and colleges at the university, or with other colleges you know? Probably with Bryn Mawr would be the easiest.
Well, I would only know Bryn Mawr. I didn't know that much about Columbia.
Well, how did the graduate department at Wisconsin or graduate school relate to the rest of the university?
Well, I think it was more an integral part of the university. At Bryn Mawr, you see, you can come to the graduate school not having been an undergraduate. At Wisconsin, probably a high percentage of the students had been undergraduates. And, of course, they had a strong engineering school. That's what brought Lindbergh there.
Are there any milestone events in the history of the college as a whole or the graduate school that you remember, other than what you told me about?
I don't think so.
I can't remember a single milestone event that occurred in my graduate days.
No.
What about Dean Charles S. Slichter, S-L-I-C-H-T-E-R? He was there from 1920 to 1934. Did you have anything to do with him?
I know the name, but was he dean of the...
He was dean of the graduate school.
Of the graduate school. Oh, now maybe it was Slichter rather than Sellery. Didn't we say,
mm-hmm.
Was he a dean?
He was dean of the College of Letters and Science.
Oh. Well, I have them a little mixed up
well,
in my mind.
Well, they could straighten that out for you. Let's go on to student life, which is the next area. Where you lived is covered in our Bryn Mawr
right.
Interview. They asked if you could characterize the political, social, cultural, and economic conditions at the university. I guess by that they mean really what was
the students.
The
that,
student.
Right.
Well,
life I lived at home.
Style. Was that common? Do you have any feeling for how many, what percentage of students lived at home?
No, I don't. And, of course, I lived out fairly far, 3 miles out, So I just don't remember much about that. But there was much less student activity than you have today. Now, they always had a, seems to me they had a prom.
How about political activities, particularly in the years when La Follette was running?
They would sometimes have a rally about, with La Follette, they had a rally when he ran for president in 24, didn't he? And I remember that rally.
Yes, you described that.
I described that. And then, of course, a lot of the social life centered around the fraternities and the sororities.
What about economic conditions in the mid-20s?
I'm trying to think of my father's and his building that he'd built in 1917.
Well, that was a little bit earlier.
I know, but then, you see, he kept the building, and he had to, he paid off the mortgage once, and then had to take out another mortgage, and that would have been in this second period. And I think there was a depression.
Well, yes, there were cycles of depression,
before
the Great Depression.
Before 29.
Mm-hmm. How about, did you ever go to any athletic events? They have a football team?
Oh, yes. We went to the football team, and it was a fairly small stadium where we, and it was right opposite where my mother then lived on Breeze Terrace. You know, I remember it was often very cold. And then we would sometimes go down to Chicago when Wisconsin played Chicago.
Go down by train?
Yeah.
Did you use Memorial Union? Had that been built when you were there?
No, that was started. But it wasn't completed until, I think, 26. Now, I remember my father contributing to that. They were raising money for it.
And what about, they ask if you read the Daily Cardinal. That must be the campus newspaper.
I don't think I did.
Did you use any other university services? I know you used city services because you lived in Madison.
Yeah.
Did you eat? You ate at the sorority house,
well,
didn't
we
you?
Had a, we ate at the sorority house.
That's okay.
Yeah. There were only a couple of dormitories, women's dormitories. I don't remember any men's dormitories. Chadburn Hall, I think, was the first women's dormitory. But a lot of students lived in houses around in the vicinity.
Mm-hmm. And did their own cooking?
I don't know.
Were there any little restaurants that students
frequented? Not many, but there was a cafeteria on the campus. I've forgotten the building it was in. I can describe it, where it was, but I don't know.
Any favorite foods? You didn't have pizza probably in those days.
No,
the students
didn't have
did.
Pizza. I don't remember much about the food.
Okay. Now, Dave, the next set of questions deals with the university as a whole, and they ask what you remember about the presidency of Edward Beard, B-I-R-G-E. Who was there?
Burge.
Thank you.
Well, Burge was, I think, an astronomer. Very scholarly.
Did you ever meet him?
No, never met him. The one I met was
Glenn Frank?
Yeah. He was a character.
Tell me about him.
I remember I came when I was coming home from the East. Maybe it was when I was going to get my PhD. I was on the parlor car with him. And he was very interesting to talk to. But he arrived from the East, and the president's had the president's house. And he had a butler. And the butler went to the stores to see what commission he was going to get. And of course, Wisconsin, Madison, never had anything like that. So,
how did you know this? Did Frank tell you this?
No, I think because my uncle, Paul Findlay, had a store on the square. Imagine, there was a grocery store on the Capitol Square in those days. I think he was the one that told it.
Were there ever any presidential teas or events to which you would have been invited?
I just don't remember.
Okay. Now, they ask also about the Wisconsin Alumni Research Foundation. Does that mean anything to you?
Oh, yes. That I know a little about, because the man who started it wasn't it Steinbeck?
I don't know.
He was the one who made a discovery. And I think it had to do with treating milk so that it didn't pass on TB or something. I'm a little fuzzy about it. But his parents lived next door to an aunt of mine, and he made this terrific amount of money with his patent. So he set up the Wisconsin Foundation.
And what was its purpose?
I guess it gave grants for research.
But you learned about it from your aunt.
Oh yeah, right at the time it happened.
It didn't involve you. I mean, do you know anything about the experimental college?
Oh, yes, a little, not a great deal, a little. I think that was that Glenn Frank's idea?
I don't know that they would know.
Well, I don't know a great deal, but I do, and it didn't last very long. But it had to do, it was a great deal of freedom of choice.
This was while you were at the university?
Well, I either had just left, or maybe it was before I got my PhD, but I wasn't a resident. And it was a new idea in advanced in college education. But it didn't last very long.
Do you have any feeling for why it didn't last?
Oh, I guess the faculty didn't like it. I don't know about the students. I didn't know any students who were in it.
The next question we've already covered partially. It's to describe opportunities for and the status of women in the political science department and in the university generally. They ask, how did women's opportunities compare with those of men?
I don't know.
You had no problem in gaining access to programs or facilities.
No.
And people didn't talk about it.
No.
You didn't have a close woman friend?
Not really. See, I lived at home, and I had friends at the sorority where I took my lunch and sometimes dinner.
But this was in the period just after women had finally got the vote nationally. There wasn't any tremendous excitement or what today would be called feminism.
Well, the only bit I remember was my friend Helen Hoy Greeley, who was a lawyer, and she had been active in getting status for women in the nurses in the nursing field, during the war. I don't think there were any women officers in those days. But I think that was my really only contact with them, that movement.
Where did she get her law degree?
I don't know.
Okay, well, I just thought.
But I later knew her in New York and tried to help her completing. She then wanted to get a PhD. She was already a lawyer. And I tried to help her finish her dissertation. But she was such a perfectionist that I don't know whether she ever finished it.
What about opportunities for blacks and Jews and other minorities?
I don't remember ever knowing a black person, and I don't remember any consciousness of Jews. I don't think we had many, either Jews or black, in those days.
How did your own family feel? Have you any? It didn't come up.
No, never came up.
Okay. They asked also about the university club, and was your father a member of the university club or the Madison Club?
No, he was not a member of the university club because he was not a college graduate. And I don't know whether he was a member of the Madison Club or not. I remember where it was located, on the bank of the lake. But he was, he died in 26. And he was pretty much business and home oriented. Some politics, in the political arena, he had some interest. But I don't think he had much. Now, he was interested in the university by the fact that he gave them $1,000 for the Memorial Union, which in those days was a lot of money. You know, it isn't like $1,000 today.
What about the university and Madison relationship when you were there, had the town gown? How was the university regarded in Madison?
I really don't know. I think there was probably less of a distinction than in the Eastern, because you see, we had a lot more people who lived at home and went.
Who came, therefore, from Madison.
Yeah.
And it also brought to Madison cultural events.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think you said earlier. Yeah. They asked also, to what extent was the Wisconsin idea, or service to the public, a functioning ideal of the university? I think I asked you that too.
I don't think I know.
What you said in our oral history was that that was easier to see looking back today than it was at the time.
At the time, yeah.
When you were there, you weren't conscious of the Wisconsin idea. Were there any milestone events and themes in the history of the university that you think deserve special note for the study they're doing?
Well, I think the shift in the presidents.
That really was quite a shift in style, I gather.
And then I forgot.
Could you give an example?
Who followed Glenn Frank?
They don't give us that, and I don't know. He was president on into the 30s, let me see now, till 1937.
I don't know who followed him.
But that would be the milestone that you would recall. And they asked also to have you compare the University of Wisconsin with other institutions which you've known, and I'm going to ask you to wait a minute while I turn the tape over.
Yes. Fine. Now, you can talk about, I guess it would, we talk a little bit about Columbia and the University of Wisconsin, but your real knowledge of college administration is from Bryn Mawr.
Yeah. Now, one recollection about Columbia, that I lived at International House. That was the first International House, started by Rockefeller, I think. Now, there have been, then there was one in Chicago later. So you see, at Columbia, I was only there one semester. We walked from International House to our classroom. So I really don't know too much.
But probably the atmosphere in general was more international at Columbia than at Wisconsin in the 1920s.
Yeah, I think it probably was. For example, at International House, we met students from all over the world. General Smuts' nephew was there. And other, I think that was my first experience with Far Easterners.
And there weren't so many foreign students at the University of Wisconsin.
No, but there were probably more than at some other institutions in the Middle West. Partly because of, I know Heine Pollack came on a grant, and we had some people, you see, that had, in those days, I suppose it was Rockefeller grants for students. I don't know what else it would have been.
Now making a real jump, because you didn't start teaching at Bryn Mawr until 1946, after you've had at least two other careers,
right?
Which we covered in the Bryn Mawr interviews. Although you were not in political science at Bryn Mawr, you were in social work and social research, and then you became director of that department, which now is a school, a graduate school of the college. Are there any reflections that you'd like to make on the administrative style, comparing two different departments at two different periods?
Well, you see, I didn't know that much about Wisconsin. But I know that at Bryn Mawr, there was a great difference in Miss McBride's era of administrative style, and also a difference in her, I'm sure, in her dealings with social work and social research as against other departments that had chairmen.
How would you characterize that difference?
Well, department chairman really had some administrative control over the hiring, the firing, the work assignments, that sort of thing. Whereas in social work, I dealt with the graduate dean only on admissions. And also we did, in our doctoral committees, we always had a chairman who was outside the department. Maybe they still do. I don't know. So I know more about Bryn Mawr than that, but I can't compare.
This is not a question on their list, but it's one I'd like to ask. What connections have you kept with the University of Wisconsin, and particularly with the political science department?
Well, I haven't kept any with the political science department. I still contribute annually a small amount to, I don't know whether it was just the Wisconsin Foundation.
It's probably the Alumni Association,
and
annual giving or something.
But I read the bulletin, but it's also different.
Tell me a little bit, what struck you particularly when you went back this last summer for your 60th reunion?
Well, there were very few of my classmates that were back. class of 24. Of course, a lot of them have died. I only saw one classmate that I knew, and that was Waller Frauchy, who had some role, and that was the funeral. They had a funeral parlor, and he and his wife were in part responsible for the reunion. Now, the 50th reunion, I had much more part in. I felt more a part of it because apparently there is something about a 50th that stands out.
Oh, I think for everybody.
For everybody. So the 60th wasn't that much of a deal. We went to some of the events that the 50th people had were putting on.
What about, you said that it's so different today from the time you were there. Did you see anything on campus particularly that comes to mind?
Well, we had a tour of the campus, and of course there are lots and lots of new buildings. And it's extended out. When I was there, you see, the suburban area had not developed out along the lake. And I remember Black Hawk's Cave, which was way out in those days. We used to take people to see Black Hawk's Cave. And of course now it's just part of the suburban community. They have kept some as woods. And I think it has a name, but I've forgotten what it is. So there's some attempt to keep open space around it, but it's also so developed and industrially and commercially. Now they cut off traffic on State Street, which went from the university to the Capitol. That's where I walked every day when I used to walk to 3 miles. So that changes the whole character.
Did you have a good time at your reunion?
Oh, we had a wonderful time. Well, Kate came out one day, and we got a car and a driver, a student, and went around, and I went to my old haunts.
Are there any things, any observations that you'd like to add? Questions that were not on the list or that I haven't asked you. What would you like to say about the University of Wisconsin, Mrs. Lauer?
Well, I had a wonderful experience there, and I don't know enough about it today.
Would you like to know more?
No, I guess I'm a little intellectually lazy.
I don't think so.
So I don't want to work too hard at I do read the bulletin. I don't read all of it, the Wisconsin the bulletin, but I read what the subjects that interest me. Of course, they've gone into the computer and into the sciences, and those don't happen to be. I think everybody ought to know about the computer, but I don't want to have to learn about it.
Really? For him, just
right. I'd like to explain why it took me so long from September 6th.
Well, I suspect that some people haven't.